Stanford Steve and the Bear is presented by Allstate. Save money like a champion with Allstate's new lower auto rates. Visit allstate.com or call an agent for a quote today. Championship savings for the win.
The underdog is howling.
Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Welcome in. Week 8. That's right. Week 8. We are almost... Oh, no. We are halfway through. But before we get started,
We're more than halfway through, my friend.
I thought it's when you get home on... Or you get to the destination of Week 8. You got a long trip this week.
I do.
So let's... All right. When you get there, when you get those toes down out on the West Coast, I think that's officially... Week 8 and halfway through that, right?
Yeah, long trip. Actually, going to the game on Thursday night, so I'm kind of excited about that.
For a second,
it was looking like there might not be a game on Thursday night, but yeah, no, going to be fun.
Very good. All right, before we get started, two things I want to mention. We're so excited about our new weekday studio show, NBA Today, hosted by the great Malika Andrews, tipping off the start of the NBA season with exclusive content Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Alongside Malika, there will be a full cast of NBA experts and insiders and many of our NBA reporters from around the league. Get caught up with the latest from around the NBA on NBA Today, 3 Eastern, noon Pacific on ESPN and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. You can also listen to the NBA Today as a podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And the big guy, Van Pelt, is on vacation this week, but don't worry, we still got a fresh episode of the SV Pod. He usually spends 30 minutes a day riding with Alex Toussaint on the Peloton, the great Alex Toussaint, that is. But now Scott spends 30 minutes with Alex talking about everything on and off the bike. Listen to and follow SV Pod wherever you listen to your podcast. All right. Yeah, so we got week 8. The Bear is headed to Westwood. Oh,
Pasadena. Yeah. Well, yeah. Westwood, then Pasadena. Yes.
Okay. So the show is going to be on campus.
Show's going to be on campus. Yes.
And then, Kirk
and Chris and Holly Rowe will be on the call of the game.
Are you guys taking a helicopter there, or are you guys taking a car?
Car.
Okay.
Please. Car.
All right.
Ryan will load up the Explorer, the Expeditioner, whatever the large vehicle of choice at the car rental place at LAX is. And we'll take her on over to Pasadena.
Awesome. Westwood's great. I know the people got to get up early. If you have any, if you're looking for suggestions how to celebrate your game day experience, just call the people up in Eugene. They perfected it by staying out until Taylor's until about 2 a.m. and then getting some hot dogs outside at the vendors and then rolling on over to campus when you guys started doing it there. It's great to have you guys back out in the West. I know everybody out there is excited for it. And I know you guys are excited for it too, even though you don't like In-N-Out Burger. But
I don't like all the crap that they put on it. It's like the sauce and stuff. Like, just give me the burger. Yeah, exactly. The burger with onions and lettuce and tomato. I'm fine with that.
All right. Okay. Eat the fries first.
Fries are too soggy.
Yeah.
Just give me lettuce, tomato, onion, ketchup, double cheeseburger, strawberry shake, and I'm good.
Good to go. All right. Bear's putting his order in for In-N-Out. How you been? Everything good?
Yeah, I'm great.
We got sports legalized, gambling legalized in Connecticut, right?
Yeah, we do. We do.
We have collected anything yet?
Oh no, yeah, no. I have. I've tried to. I'll put it to you that way.
Okay.
It's fun. It's fun when you put in a wager and you get the spin cycle, and the spin cycle goes on for
the wheel of death
over a minute. And then they come back and say declined. And then you try to put it in again for a lesser amount. And then you get the spin cycle. And then it says line change, and the line is 12 cents different from what you wanted, what the line that you found that you wanted to put it in on. And then you have the nice big middle finger. That's fun. You don't
That's not fun. But I will say, if it's you, you know, people sometimes get the wheel of death spinning at them because they might get insufficient funds. But if there's one thing I know about you, is that you have the accounts that are locked and loaded, my friend. I know you always got those things stacked. And speaking of accounts and all that, thanks to the guys out at Circa. Unbelievable weekend. It would have been an all-timer bear if the Patriots covered. That was horrendous. Man, what an all-timer.
Yeah, I thought they were going to get it. I know Chris Andrews was talking about that game too. Like, they really needed that at South Point as well. I think every book needed New England, which is rare. Gosh,
I know.
Where have we been from a couple of years ago?
I felt so good about that. But then a Belichick defense couldn't get a stop. I couldn't believe it. All right, week 8. We're here. There's plenty going on. I want to start with this.
You can start with whatever you want.
The most puzzling line I have seen in 20 years is on the college football slate this week. I am so perplexed by this line. I can't understand it, and I need help.
Okay.
Why is Wisconsin giving 3 at Purdue?
Yeah, that's a that is one.
It's beyond smell. It's scary to me. The look of that, I don't know what to do. It makes me not think anything of either side. And it's really mind-blowing to me that I see a Wisconsin team who we had Army against, and then you see Purdue play as well. I mean, Purdue should have had another touchdown if he doesn't fumble through the end zone. I don't know why guys continue to do that, but that's another discussion for another pod. But do you have anything on this? Because I'm telling you, it is the scariest line I have seen in 20 years.
Like we're gonna do this again, like with Wisconsin as a favorite. Like if you go back, like them as a favorite lately, it's the 15th game they've been favored, 15th straight game they've been favored. They're 5-9 with 7 outright losses in the previous 14, and then they're 1-6 against the number in their last 7 Big Ten games. But yeah, but no. You've got 4 games this week where you have the unranked team favored over the ranked team. And I thought this was the most curious one of all of them. Like Iowa State is a better power ranked team than Oklahoma State. They should be favored at home. Air Force should be favored at home over San Diego State. UCLA, that number I think is right just based on where Oregon is right now. But I don't know why Wisconsin's favored in this game. We kind of brought that up with the Notre Dame game too. Like, why is Wisconsin a 6.5-point favorite against Notre Dame? Like, they shouldn't be. I've been burned by Wisconsin a couple times this year as a favorite as well. But yeah, I'm done with the Wisconsin as a favorite ballot. That Purdue defense is really good. They blew up Iowa's offensive line.
Oh yeah,
and this is not a Wisconsin like team that's gonna. It's amazing to say, but this is not a Wisconsin team that's going to blow you off the line and dominate the line of scrimmage. Mm-mm. Offensively, they got a ton of problems. Who's going to cover David Bell? I mean, I have all the respect in the world for Jimmy Leonard's defense, but that's a bad Wisconsin. Maybe if you want to just totally avoid the trouble of the side, maybe you just look at under. I mean, I know that the total is going to be low, and it was super low last week, but it was the right side. So yeah, I would look at maybe Wisconsin team total under, game total under, but I couldn't lay the points here with Wisconsin, even as smelly as the line is.
Yeah, it's scary. As I said to me, it's not even smelly. I know we do lines that stink all the time, but this one has me perplexed. It's a total sit back and see what happens. But I'm glad you mentioned Bell, because I think the world of that kid got banged up earlier in the year in the Notre Dame game, I believe. But man, you want to see a kid make plays. He can do it all. And that's going for 4 years of hearing about Rondell Moore in the program. And he really took the opportunity when Moore, felt like he was questionable, probable for 1.5 seasons. And hey, give credit to him. He's come back and had a great NFL career so far for the Cardinals. But Bell, I'm really happy for that kid. I mean, he was the best player on the field last week, I thought, and I didn't think it was close with what he brought to the table. And, you know, I just, you think about Wisconsin in talent they've played, like, you know, against Penn State, they give up the big plays in the pass game. I think Bell's more than capable of doing that. But then on the other side, I don't know. It's mind blowing to me. I wanted to talk one loss teams, because I believe you were tweeting away or you had an email out that you're ready to move Ohio State ahead of Oregon.
I didn't say none. I said right. I can understand
okay.
the argument by those who are ready to do it based on Oregon struggling again and not looking like and being the team that mm-hmm. they were when they beat Ohio State. Mm-hmm. I can't do it until I see Ohio State beat somebody good.
Gotcha.
Ohio State beats Penn State next week. They beat Michigan State. They beat me. Then we're probably looking at a situation where that head to head doesn't count as much. But yeah, I can understand people saying, okay, this is not the same Oregon team. Ohio State's gotten their act together. I can do it now. But I'm not there yet.
All right. Can you see a scenario where there's an undefeated Wake Forest team and undefeated Cincinnati team at the end of the season?
I can't see Wake Forest getting there. I can't. It would be pretty unbelievable if they did, but I actually think that they're in trouble this week.
Good.
I like Army this week. This is the Wake Forest team that has really given up a ton of yards on the ground the last couple of weeks to Louisville and Syracuse. You know, Army is going to just keep the running game going. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to shorten the game. And while they probably do have the better athletes, a quarterback and wide receiver, I think this is a chance for Army to potentially win this game outright. It's only 3 points. Army is one of my plays this week, and so I mean, my answer is no. I don't see Wake Forest running the table. I still think you look at what they have left. I haven't run the probability of them winning out, but the four games at North Carolina versus NC State, at Clemson, and at BC, I would think the percentage chance of them winning those four games in a row is very slim if they do this week.
Agree all the way around. I watched, obviously you mentioned, had Army last week, watched the game against Wisconsin. And I'll tell you this, going back to it, they were awesome on defense against Army. They were really, really good. And just the preciseness you have to have up front, and especially down right in the middle of taking away any kind of leverage and movement Army gets right at the snap. Wisconsin was phenomenal. There's so many times quarterback got the snap, whether he's trying to fake or go right away with the option, he had to take a step back. And that's what you need to do against Army to be successful. And as you mentioned, I don't think Wake Forest is built for this kind of thing. And it feels like, and that's what I had me worried about last week, is it feels like Army, when they play these teams up, they do better against the better offensive teams. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know, I go back to the Oklahoma game. You know, they were able to match them score for score. And to me, this feels like a scenario where they could do that with Wake Forest. Wake Forest comes in with the good offense behind Hartman. You know, I talked about the Army quarterback position. To me, it doesn't matter with what they do at quarterback. It's just that system. You plug them in and they go. And to me, this is the best game of the weekend to me. It's the most intriguing for sure because of that unknown factor. You have a high scoring top 15 or top, what are they, 16 now, Wake Forest?
Yeah, I think they're 16.
That seems kind of low though. Jeez, they are in the ACC. But yeah, they're going to earn it. They'll earn it this week. If they get this win, I do have Army circle. That's where I wanted to start because it's a noon Eastern game. Saturday afternoon, CBS Sports Network up at the great Mikey Stadium. But that is all eyes on me for Saturday at noon Eastern as you guys are getting off the air out west. Is there anything during the week? We're going to try and get this out as soon as we can. This coastal line keeps climbing.
I don't like it there at all. Earlier in the week when I did the Max Kellerman show, we were talking about that game, and I think it was on Max's show. It could have been something else. It was bet on Monday when we were talking about the early game, mm-hmm. and I thought Coastal might have been worth a play, but at this number that it is now, I think it's probably going to hit six by the time kickoff rolls around tonight. Just with how bad Appalachian State was last week, mm-hmm. I'd stay away from that side. I would maybe look at the total under and think that after getting gutted on defense last week by Louisiana, I would think you'd see a little bit more pride from the Mountaineers tonight. And it's probably an under game for me, and I'll steer clear of laying five and just focus on the total.
Yeah, that's exactly the way I was thinking. We obviously have to talk about this game on Daily Wager later on today, and I was telling the guys to dig me something up on opponents played this year and also a difference from Coastal from last year to this year, because the competition, I think they're in the 100 and teens in strength of schedule so far. The only halfway decent team they played was Buffalo, and that's the one game they didn't cover. And you mentioned the recency bias of that last time out. We saw App State just be terrible with the football, and you mentioned get gutted by that run game. Now, I know Coastal's offense is as good as there is. I absolutely love Isaiah Likely, the tight end. I really am a fan of Grayson McCall, and I love the head coach and what they bring to the table. But as this line goes up, I think it's six, and you look at Appalachian State's opponents, you know, Louisiana last week. I know Miami's Miami, but still, that's way up than what Coastal has played. So I don't want to be given this amount of points. And I go back to last year. I went back and watched some of that. You know, App State's leading late in the fourth quarter, and then McCall fumbles into the end zone. They get the ball back. They score, and then it's a brutal beat. I believe they were up two or up three, and Coastal returns a pick six, which was just horrendous. If you were on the App State side, because I thought they were the right side that whole game. So I would lean App State, and I like the under 61.5, because I think when you look at it, we know how Chase Bryce has had problems with turnovers, and Coastal really doesn't take the ball away from the other team. I think I have it right here. Where is it? They only have three takeaways on the year, and obviously we saw what App State did last week after they gave it up four times to Louisiana and nine turnovers in their last four games. So I would think they want to try and run it, even though I really like App State's receivers. But I think a control game there, but a really good game for a Wednesday night. I'm fired up for that one. The rest of the week games, I was looking at Charlotte as a home dog to FAU, and I was looking at that total 57. I think that's going to be a high-scoring one. I have Charlotte circled as a possible pick in the column. Nikosi Perry, I believe, is going to start for FAU. I saw that. They've obviously been better with him at quarterback. But I like Charlotte in that situation at home where they can play up. Have you heard anything on Starkle at San Jose State?
I have not.
Yeah, I can't get any information out there. They're giving five late Friday night. That's Thursday night. At Allegiant Stadium against the Rebels, who are 0-6. And I had them circle. Obviously, if they get – you know what? If they had Starkle, they would be given more.
Correct.
You have to think, right?
I mean, think they should probably be giving more anyway.
That's why I had them circled also, I talk about how you look at these. You know, we go back and forth on Sunday when they come out, and that's one that popped out. We talked about last week how much was not popping out. But San Jose State was I did have my eyes on. Louisiana's given a ton to Arkansas State, who doesn't really stop anybody. That over under 70. I'll tell you, Friday night, Memphis, UCF, there's not going to be much defense in that one. UCF, I don't like the looks of that one with Gus trying to figure things out without Gabriel. That's a toss-up game for me. And in a late Pac-12 game, Washington, Arizona. Washington's given 18 on the road. That seems like a ton, but Arizona just got blasted in Boulder. So we have that.
Pac-12 network game of the week. Did they really get blasted in Boulder?
Yes.
Did the game really happen?
Did anybody see it?
I saw it.
You guys keep.
By the way, what is that? 18 in a row now for them?
Mm.
18 straight losses?
Believe so. Not great.
Here's a special athlete question.
Oh,
actually, I'm gonna call it the Aflac trivia question, but
all right,
unofficial
sponsor.
Who was the head coach of the last team Arizona beat?
Was it Chris Peterson?
No, but you're kind of thinking this. October 5th, 2019, over the Mel Tucker coached Colorado Buffaloes.
Wow. Huh. Mel Tucker's been getting his name thrown around.
Yes.
He's sitting on a big check. I don't care where he goes. If he stays in East Lansing or whatever,
that's going to be the great thing. How many people get raises for no shot at getting this job, and their name's going to get thrown out there. I'm not saying that Tucker isn't going to have a shot at the job or want the job, but they're going to be people who profit off of this. Good for them, I guess.
Speaking of, I just want to say this about LSU. Okay. If Scott Woodward's the AD, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he's going to be this guy that wants to bring in his own guys, right? How the hell is Will Wade still the basketball coach at LSU? That's what I have to say.
That's a great question.
How the hell is he still the head coach? And if you want to tell me it's because he wins, then what goes against a national championship? And then thanks to you, you gave me these stats. Coach O, 19-10 versus ranked teams, 7-0 in 2019. 13-5 versus top 10 teams. Obviously 7-0 in 2019. So if you're going to tell me winning, then I don't know. But just that just doesn't make sense to me that guy's still the basketball coach, and you're going to tell me he wants his own guys in there as head coaches under him. Okay, that's my LSU rant. Earl, anything else you got your eyes on that stuck out like Army did for Saturday?
Yeah, yes. Just the unranked favorites, Iowa State, Oklahoma State game, I think stuck out to me.
Mm-hmm.
I like Iowa State there. It's a big number, but I just think they're better. And I think I know it's been Kansas, and I know it was Kansas State the last couple of weeks, but their offense, it looks like it's getting it together. Oklahoma State's been a team that has given Iowa State fits the last couple of years.
Yeah,
a couple of years ago, I remember Purdy had that interception return for touchdown fest in the fourth quarter up in Ames, and last year they went to Oklahoma State and struggled. Interesting, but I think Iowa State's kind of gotten forgotten about a little bit. So I do like Iowa State there.
One thing on that, both those teams to me, and you know, we are obviously high on Iowa State coming into the year, knowing what they had, and then you look back now and you see the losses that they had to Iowa, just not playing well. And you mentioned the competition, but getting back and playing well and making plays on offense. I think that's what we wanted to see to Iowa State. But this game feels like a pass for me. I'll probably take Iowa State in the office pools and all that stuff. But I want this, the winner of this game, I could find myself believing in a little bit because it's a good game. There's two good football teams. And Oklahoma State has been very opportunistic. You know, they hung in last week. And then they get to pick six, and that they just keep hanging in, and they make enough plays, and their defense come up with plays, and they get it done. So credit to them, but it's a very good game. Yeah, it was bad.
Six was so bad.
Yeah, it was bad.
I mean, the game's over.
Game's over. Done.
24-7, game's over.
Done. But one of the
speaking of pick sixes, can I vent on Indiana again? What are you doing? I mean, come on. Seriously. I mean, come on. The Indiana backups outgained Michigan State by 100 yards and allow a non-offensive touchdown, have to settle for a 24 and a 25-yard field goal.
Mm-hmm.
Miss a two-point conversion. Yeah, and despite all of that, you just get a two-point conversion and you get the cover.
Yeah. All that for that. As I said after the Patriots game where they couldn't cover, it did feel like one of those. Because, like I said, when we're in these scenarios and we look at the team, and that's why I couldn't take Indiana last week. Is in so many situations where you look at the line and you're saying they should be getting more, you know what you're getting on the other side. It's not the most talented teams. And the constant just angst of wanting to hang around and making the most of opportunities, it doesn't happen. And that's why those teams are those teams. And that's why those lines are that lines. But you still got to see it because it does feel like the right side. But going back to the unranked versus ranked and being favored, I look at Air Force. I think they're the better team here. I know San Diego State's undefeated, but you know they've covered five of the last six. I think their defense has been really good. They held Boise to 337 total yards last week in Boise. Now I know they've been up and down, but that's a pretty good offense. If you think of anything Boise's going to do, is move the football a little bit. And also undefeated, ranked San Diego State is going to make a quarterback change and go with Lucas Johnson, who's a transfer from Georgia Tech. He threw the game winner in that ugly game, overtime win against San Jose State. I think that was Friday night. So I just think I'm more solidified. I would, you know, pay the 120 to get Air Force minus -3. The total's 40. So you know that's going to be a limited possession game. So I do like Air Force, and that'll be on my list for sure in those other games. And then out of those other matchups, you mentioned Iowa State. Oh, the game you're going to, Oregon and UCLA. I have UCLA circled. I said last week they're more capable of Washington going on the road. And even though the line was a little stinky, but Oregon comes out of the bye week with that effort against Cal.
Yeah.
You know, are they maxed out on that offense without Vardell and with Brown at this, you know, getting the snaps? I just feel like I don't know. It feels stale to me, the Oregon offense, if that makes any sense. And UCLA does a good job still against the run, so maybe they can make them one-dimensional. They only give up 91 yards on the ground. So I definitely like UCLA in that game.
No, I agree with you. And I think the line here is indicative of how people feel about Oregon. I think what Oregon did open, I think, is a one-point favorite and a flip. Mm. But I think what we've seen from Oregon the last couple of weeks, Brown's inability to really get Pittman and those talented receivers involved in the offense. Verdell, his absence running the ball has been a big deal. Not having Flo, not having your best defensive back. So, yeah, I think it kind of adds up to UCLA as well. It kind of goes back to the conversation we were having earlier about people getting ready to flip Oregon and Ohio State based on what we've seen. But if Oregon gets it right, and who knows what can happen, but it kind of feels like UCLA, it should get Phillips back this week. They're pretty good against the run. So I would agree. It would be UCLA or pass for me.
I'm interested to see the total. I feel like this is going to go up. It's at 60 right now. But just knowing the imagery of both of these teams, they feel like they're over betters. Favorite teams and guys who call plays and Chip and Joe Moorhead. Those are the unranked favorites over ranked teams. Yep. Part of the pod. Clemson, a 3-point dog against at Pitt. Assess.
They should be.
Okay.
What have you seen about from Clemson to make you think that they're coming out of whatever offensive problems that they have? I mean, people are saying this every single week, but it's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you just kind of have to say Clemson is everything that they've shown that they are. I mean, would I feel totally confident about laying 3.5 with Pitt? Maybe not, but I sure as hell I'm not taking Clemson.
Yeah, I just thought it, like you said, at some point. And last week, they're double-digit favorites at Syracuse in the Dome. And now they're on the road again, and now they're a 3-point dog to Pitt. So I think it's a big spot for Pickett if he could play well. He has not played well against Clemson in the games prior. No. I do feel like Clemson had more urgency with their defensive game plan to put pressure on him this year, and Clemson just hasn't been – as successful. Obviously, they lost some guys. So to me, it's that that's the matchup in this game, because I think Pitt's defense should not have a problem in keeping Clemson's offense in check, because we have not seen much from them. But this is a big spot for Pitt, man. God, well, I'd love to know the look ahead line at the beginning of the season with this one.
Oh, had to be what? At least a touchdown, right?
I was gonna say and more 14, than that.
14 had to be at least 14, right?
Yeah, I would have said between 14 and 17 before the season started, obviously. I do want to say they're on a bye week this week, but Auburn, you continue to perplex me. And it's a credit to you. I said I liked the hire with Harsin to have a more buttoned up feel. And what I meant was like that, going on the road and having a game plan, and me not knowing that Bo Nix was going to have a career day on in the air and have the under in that game. And he throws, I think, 270-yard plus touchdowns. But, you know, I questioned Auburn before the LSU game, and those two teams have completely gone in different directions. And that's a credit to Auburn. Could they be the second best team in the West?
Who, Auburn?
Yeah.
No.
Ole Miss?
No, I still think A&M is.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, I do.
All right. Well, a couple things on that. A&M is my blowout this week. If I'm looking at 20-point spreads, I know everybody's going to talk about Alabama. To me, I can't touch that game unless I know it's official. Milton is the quarterback. A bunch of us jumped on the group I was with, Bear, out at Circa. We're at the stadium swim Saturday for Bama and Mississippi State. We had Bama, and then we also took the over at 58, and it landed on 58. Can you believe that?
Unbelievable.
Unreal. I will say, though, man, it brought back good memories, because – you know, the idea of us with accounts and all that stuff and putting our name out there. But, man, going back to that window and getting my money back, it felt like a win, even though I should have got double my money that I put down. But it was a good feeling to not have a losing ticket. So that ended up being a plus on that game. But, yeah, I think A&M, I look at South Carolina coming in. I don't like what I see. They got to go back to Nolan as the quarterback. A&M's obviously averaging 5 yards a rush over the last, I believe, five games. I know there's a Missouri game in there, but there's also an Alabama game in there. And I just wonder, with the pressure that A&M could put on South Carolina, whose offensive line has not played well, like this guy's a grad assistant playing. Like, what do they have behind him? If anything were to happen to him, that could be just cataclysmic. So I think A&M gets out big and takes care of that number. Bama in Tennessee, it's 67. Really impressive effort by Bama. Will Anderson was just a machine against that Mississippi State offensive line. Any feelings on the Tide after a loss, seeing them last week?
I have a hard – I again, at the time we're doing this, we don't know what the status of Tennessee's quarterback is.
Mm-hmm.
If Joe Milton's the quarterback, I'm laying this any day and every day.
Mm-hmm.
If Hooker's playing, I mean, he gives them a chance. But if Joe Milton's the quarterback for Tennessee, I mean, it's two hands, black chips, push them into the table. seriously. I mean, how much more do you need to see from him this year to know that it decision making is?
Yeah.
I mean, how are you? I mean, the play at the end of that game last week, mm-hmm. where why are you running? Like, just no awareness whatsoever. So I think Alabama, if we find out it's Milton, and if I have to lay a couple extra points and that line goes up, that's fine. But I would feel pretty good about laying it if that's the case.
Yeah, that hurry up offense is a nightmare when you can't get first downs. And that's the thing that Hooker's been able to do, is on broken plays, being able to use his legs. The only thing I could think Tennessee does with Milton is trying to get the quarterback runs more involved, because we know his issues with accuracy when it comes to that. Am I crazy to go against LSU for a second straight week?
No. No, you're not. I mean, no, look, Ole Miss has a bunch of injuries, and Lane is talked up. Corral being hurt. He hasn't been good. I hope he's okay. May not play. But now I think the fact that the number is under 10.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but do you get the sense that last week might have been like the LSU last stand kind of deal? Everybody's bad mouthing us. All guys are either getting hurt or whatever. Coach O is going to get let go. Okay, we're going to bow off one more week because we hate Florida. And they did. And now it's kind of like tap out time. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, well, here's a couple things. And this is another credit to O, like getting his team ready to go and taking it to Florida and in a situation where they run the football. They haven't been able to run the football all year, and they just absolutely gutted Florida. And I will say this. This is why I like Ole Miss in this game, though, is because LSU feasted off of Florida turnovers last week. I mean, just made big play after big play with those turnovers. Corral has one interception on the year. When you talk to guys with quarterbacks,
that's the one thing you got to keep in mind.
Yes. Oh yeah. No doubt. I mean, this is a no play if Corral doesn't play. I'm going in with the sense that he's going to play, but he has one pick this year. When you talk to the NFL guys about how accurate he has been, that comes into play there with me, knowing how many times they put the ball in the air, but also knowing the idea of that they can run the ball. You know, LSU's defense wasn't great, but like I said, they were really opportunistic with getting turnovers at crucial situations. LSU's given up 330 yards on the ground to Kentucky, and obviously they gave up 210 to UCLA back in week one. So that defense can be had any way you want. And when you talk about Ole Miss, it obviously starts and ends with that offense. The defense hasn't been great, but LSU's got over 1,500 yards given up the last three games. Obviously, the Bama game comes up and then the Tennessee fiasco last week. But I do like Ole Miss in that game. I also have Notre Dame circled minus -7. Yes, I do. I know it's bad. I know it's bad, and it's gonna be the number one public play. But here's listen to me on this, okay? Mayer's back. I don't care what they do with the quarterback situation. To me, this is about USC off a bye, okay? And this is why I hated that the firing in week two of the season, because now in that building, like when you say you're going to do a bye week, how many of those SC coaches, and maybe I'm totally wrong on this, but I think about when they're should be putting in extra time, looking ahead to games, you know, why shouldn't they be looking and making calls about their next job? There can't be a lot of job security feelings in that building every day. And when you look at the two coaching staffs, I think Notre Dame is a really good staff that knows they still have to manage a really good season here. And it starts with this. You get your best player back and maybe a little chill in the air and a night kick in South Bend. It's up to – it was at 6.5 a little bit yesterday. I really liked it there. I do have it at 7, and I just feel like the motivation factor, I think Notre Dame comes with a lot, and I know it's going to be a pretty public play, but I do have Notre Dame circled.
Yeah, I mean, this has been the situation the last couple of years where you've had an unranked USC team kicking on a top 15 Notre Dame team, and they have both been close games with SC covering. So I don't know. I just don't think Notre Dame is that great of a football team. And to talk about your SC coaching stuff, like I think it shows a lot about the SC's coaching staff's character and work ethic and as people. And dedication to be like, okay, we know we're probably going to be gone from here in another five games, but if we finish out and we prep and game plan the season strong and we show that we're committed to finishing out the job, that might help our chances of landing another gig somewhere. So I take a little bit of a different spin than you have.
All right. I just it's been so up and down, you know, and that's why I just couldn't stand that firing in week two. Like, you obviously knew you had it, so why didn't it happen earlier? You just put everybody in such a brutal situation in that building and in that locker room of coming out now with the chaos that it is and having to answer questions every week about stuff that's not pertaining to the game that you're playing. So I do lean Notre Dame in there. And then the other one I have circled is TCU, -4.5 at home against West Virginia. They get Zach Evans back. You saw him in person.
They say he's definitely back.
Yeah, he said he's probable yesterday at the press conference.
Yeah, because I think they were expecting that he was going to be able to give it a go Saturday, and he didn't.
Okay.
But yeah, he's got a foot injury that hasn't really healed as well as they had hoped for.
And that's the thing I had written down right under it, was that they're getting him back. I saw Patterson said probable in the press conference yesterday, and he's been awesome. In the last four games he's played, he's gone for about 140 yards a clip. In West Virginia, I feel like the problem is Letty Brown's only gone for 100 yards once this year. So when you can't run the ball, that obviously puts pressure on Diggy, and that's when those bad decisions just happen. I like what TCU's done, having that face, that Texas offense and that Oklahoma offense already from a defensive side. I know it hasn't been pretty. I don't think West Virginia comes in with any kind of offensive prowess compared to those two teams. So I look at TCU in that game.
Yeah, the West Virginia on the road factor as well. They've been a bad road team for the most part under Neil Brown, is other than giving the game away in Oklahoma last month. So, I just worry about that TCU team, the team that I saw last week. Just defensively, they got a ton of problems. But again, you may be right in that it's a good matchup for them, and that they get West Virginia, who is not going to really put up a ton of points.
Am I crazy to like NC State -3 at Miami?
I actually like Miami here.
It's stinky.
I don't think we're very good. I just dropped a wear like Coach Donovan would when he's talking about Georgia with us. I don't think we're very good. But at the same time, the last couple of weeks, the Virginia game and North Carolina last week. Mm-hmm. As bad as their defense has been, their offense hasn't quit.
No, it hasn't.
And with Van Dyke in there now, I think it kind of gives them a little bit of something to play for the remainder of the year. And if there's going to be a coaching change, it kind of – I don't know if there is or isn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been rumored that there will be. I mean, I still don't think it's a given that they make a change. And a lot of people are, but it's whether it's this coaching staff that's there or the one that's potentially would be coming in. It gives a good impression, the fact that some of these younger players are on the cusp of being pretty good. So I think with Van Dyke in the lineup, NC State getting that big win at BC, I was dead wrong about that. They dominated the game. Yeah. BC basically botched that game a couple of ways as well with the punt. Give NC State credit, man. Defensively, they played great. But I do think they're going to go up against a little bit better of an offense this week that could have a little bit more in store for them than the Eagles. So, yeah, this is Miami year pass for me.
Yeah, it's just the line's kind of smelly. And I look at NC State's defense and what they did against Boston College, but I look at what that offense did. BC's defense is a hell of a lot better than Miami. And NC State, in a tight game at half, to come out in the second half and do what they did was pretty impressive. And I've said all year, I like the quarterback. I think he's pretty capable. So you said it, like, night game in Miami, who's going to be there? Does it lull you to sleep even though it's still a night game? So it's a big spot for NC State. They got plenty to play for, obviously, with that win over Clemson in their conference moving ahead. So I had it underlined, and it made me want to ask my Miami insider. So that's why I asked. What else sticks out to you?
What were the three games I gave on the triple option were Army plus the points. Miami plus the points.
Okay.
And Iowa State minus the points. Those were the three that stuck out. Air Force was the one that just missed. After that, I didn't see a ton that really appealed to me. But like do you want to get, I mean, can you get behind, I mean, Cincinnati's going to blow everybody out the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Do you want to be involved with the BYU Washington State game?
No.
Where, I mean, that's a, who the hell knows what the mentality of Washington State players are going to be. I could see myself laying points with Ohio State if I can get it at 21 and not 21 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is now. Is
21.
Is 21. I mean, I could lay 21. It feels kind of pushy at worst, but we saw that's a terrible Indiana offense.
Yeah.
Last week. Dare I say, like, is Vandy the right side against Mississippi State? Rodgers has a shoulder issue. I can't believe Leach left him out there the whole game last week.
That's what I was saying. We had that over. They had three first and goals, and they got three field goals. Just put somebody up. Give me a little wild field
goal against Bama.
Yeah. Yeah. Three times. And then a pick in the end zone to end the game. That was pretty.
I think Clifford is going to play for Penn State. So I don't know, does 24 feel right or too low or too high if he does play?
Mm-hmm. I you know what I'm really upset at is before the year how we talked about we're going to talk ourselves into taking Northwestern. We missed our spot last week. That was the spot against Rutgers, catching a couple points. And as soon as I woke up and saw, I think it was 7-0. As soon as I got up out west, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. That was the spot. Texas Tech, Kansas State is really puzzling. K-State plus one. Texas Tech's actually been really good. I should say really good. A pleasant surprise. They got to be over their season win total, I would think, because they're at 5-2, aren't they?
I think their win total was 6. Texas Tech.
Oh, really? I thought it was like 4.5. But I could totally be wrong. Syracuse, Virginia Tech, I don't want anything to do with. Oh, I know what I want to talk to you about. If you tell me you talk to a person that bets multiple Maxion games every week and they're winning money,
I wouldn't believe
lying. It. They're lying to your face. That conference and watching some of those games. It is so up and down and nothing makes sense. Toledo losing their quarterback is a killer, for their season win total, which we gave out. But yeah, I'm looking at like Eastern Michigan -3 at Bowling Green. That's Eastern Michigan all day. But now from what I've seen the last couple of weeks, I don't want any part of it. Knowing what the up and down Akron's lines are coming down. You know, Central Michigan's given Northern Illinois might have the best wins in the conference, and they're getting points from Central Michigan. It's just been mind-boggling to see what's happened in that conference, and we're not even to the weeknight games, which is really when it steps up. So I just wanted to see if you had anything on the Mac.
No, I've been, and to prove your point there. Like I think I gave it out on the pod here, like a Northern Illinois win total under this year. And that's dead in the water right now. My readings of the MAC this year have not been good. And just to kind of, if you're winning the MAC, God bless you. Cause I sure as hell am not.
A good game Saturday night, Nevada +3 at Fresno. Hainer came back. They weren't great offensively, but they went to Wyoming and got a win. That impressed me moving ahead in that conference. But Nevada seems like it's had it going. Wonder if all the coaching rumors of Norvell possibly going to Wazoo getting the way there. But I'll definitely be watching that one late Saturday night.
Yeah, I will probably be watching that from LAX. Hopefully. Mm,
we'll a little red eye home Saturday night.
Red eye home. Yep. LAX JFK.
All right. We got our Roadrunners ranked.
Yes, we did. And I have something for you.
Uh-oh.
By the way.
Okay.
I have a hat that supposedly you have not gotten yet.
Oh, yes. All right. I have plenty of that. So I will take another one.
Courtesy of the Roadrunner
Beautiful.
Thank you,
Tyler. Absolutely. What's up, Tyler? But here's they're given seven. They're ranked, and they're going to the home of bad beats in Ruston.
What could possibly go wrong?
Exactly. And as enticing as it is with the Roadrunners, I love watching them every week. That's a smelly line to me. That stinks. Knowing what happens in Ruston and how often they show up in bad beats. So that's going to scare me off, given the seven with the Roadrunners, even though it's just been an awesome story for those guys in San Antonio. As they crank it up, I'm just going down the list. Georgia Tech, Virginia, you can have that.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of games like that this week. Like, you can have that game.
Dirty Terps at Minnesota. How about that showing from Nebraska last week? That wasn't that typical.
Yeah, I was going to say that was. But by the way, how's Minnesota 4-2?
You got me. I've tried not to pay attention until after I gave them 31 and they lost on the field to old Bowling Green. I've tried to turn away from the boat, but the boat's always there to jump back on if you want that. We know that. I have a question for you regarding the Major League Baseball playoffs.
Yeah.
You were a big Dodgers fan this year.
I was.
Okay. And now we went against each other.
Fortunately, I was able to mitigate risk there.
Okay.
They did go over the season win total, didn't win the division, but we were able to finagle some things and we wound up okay there. But I'm sorry, continue.
So then we talked last week, I think it was on Daily Wager, mm-hmm. where I had the Brewers in that series. You took the Braves, and I believe mm-hmm. you took the Braves to win the NL and the World Series.
Yes, I did.
So now you're a Braves fan.
I am.
How are you feeling?
Oh, they lost the series yesterday. you don't come back from 5-2 up on the road with five outs to go, and now you got to deal with Urias tonight. You don't come back from that.
Man,
it's just going to be another one for Atlanta sports lore.
Well, I heard our boy, a big Dodger guy, McElroy, chirping this morning that 5-2 is now the new 28-3 in Atlanta. So
wouldn't it be nice for the Braves to win? I mean,
I have them for the series at a great price as soon as it came out. So I wouldn't mind it. But as I will say, and I will be tweeting out again later on today, there's no way the Red Sox lose because we're trying everything on that. We don't want them.
Well, they got screwed on the strike three call. Seriously, what robots at what point? The Bueller 0-2 pitch to Jock Peterson that mm-hmm. should have been strike three before the big inning. Like, you can't miss pitches. It's terrible. I have been like anti this for a while. I'm like, yeah, do better. You've got to do better. You can't be miss 21 pitches. I think they said last night he missed that were the wrong call. You can't do that. I mean, that's fireable.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Last night, if you're watching the game, JD Martinez is up. Right, it's a 3-2 count. Runner on first is going. It's ball four. Diaz calls it strike three. Martinez is walking over the plate to walk to first because it's ball four. Maldonado is the catcher and holds back from throwing the ball where he could have easily got an interference on Martinez because he thought it was ball four. Like, when you're affecting the catcher and the batter and the pitcher and effectively the manager.
When everybody knows you're wrong.
Yeah. And the manager only didn't get thrown out because he knew he was right. So it was pretty evident, and it sucks because it's my favorite playoffs there is, and it's like that every pitch, man, it means something, and it was just a shame. How hard did Peterson hit that ball after that missed strike, man? Did you get any NBA season win totals in?
No, I'm being honest with you here.
Okay.
I had no idea the season started yesterday.
So you didn't
I thought it started. I knew it started this week. Mm-hmm. And I thought it started tonight, which was Wednesday. I had no idea the season started yesterday.
So you didn't watch LeBron almost get a triple-double?
No.
No.
No, I watched the baseball. I watched the Islanders get a big win.
I watched that too.
Sean McDonough, Ray Ferraro, and Emily Kaplan on the call.
I'm loving the Isles deal.
Get it done.
I'm loving.
And then I flipped over to the baseball, and then I went to bed.
I had it. I was dying for a 10:30 hockey game. I'm all in with the ESPN app and in the hockey, man. Like I watch. I had a couple nights ago, Calgary on. And that place was great. And then last night, being able to watch Connor McDavid is just, I can't believe how fast that guy is on skates, man. And that's coming from a guy who's never put on a pair of skates. So I appreciate it. And I'll tell you what, it'll be on the TVs every night, wherever I am, because I look at the star power in that league and it's on the right uptick. And I'm really excited to have a part and be more a part of it. I went to Caps Rangers last week down here in the district. Beautiful new sports book built into the arena, which is a whole different dynamic that I've never thought I would see.
I believe it.
It's really cool. Got to see Ovechkin score two, which is that guy. I mean, it's I can't get over what he's able. Right.
I laugh every time that was MassMutual commercial. Every time that commercial pops on, I laugh. I can't get enough of it. It's a great, great commercial.
Big Mike Happy Recap.
For the Big Mike Happy Recap, I am going to go UCLA minus the 2, Ole Miss minus the 9, Air Force, I'm going to buy that to 3. It's right. You should be able to do that for like minus 120. I'm going to take Notre Dame minus the 7, even though the world will be on it. I think I'm going to give out A&M minus the 21. And I think I'm going to give TCU minus the 4.5. One other one I just wanted to throw out there before you go, Bear. Mm-hmm. The over in the Utah-Oregon State game seems a little fit. I mean, we know how late that game's going to be. We know what happens late out there. 56.5 feels weird to me, but I'm not going to touch it. It's just something to keep your eyes on if you want to get weird and need something late Saturday night. Your picks for the Big Mike Happy Recap, sir, are?
I see a 62.5 total out there now.
Oh,
tonight at BetMGM. I'm looking at Vegas Insider right now, and I see 62.5 at BetMGM.
I like
so that. I don't know if that's possible for everyone. I think 61.5 is consensus. So
yeah,
I'll call 61.5, under 61.5.
Okay.
Coastal Carolina, Appalachian State. I will go Miami plus the 3 against NC State.
Okay.
Army plus the 3 against Wake Forest.
Okay.
Iowa State minus the 7 against Oklahoma State. And I really want to lay that 25 with Alabama, but I just don't know about.
I totally hear you. That's why I left it off.
That might be a column ad later in the week if I find that out of information. And give me Air Force as well.
Okay.
3.5.
All right, let's go Force. I think I'm going to jump in with you on that Army too. We got both. We got Army and Air Force.
That's right.
All right.
Well, can I tempt you with Navy plus the 4 touchdowns against Cincinnati?
Here's the deal that I'll say with Cincinnati, and nobody's been a bigger Cincinnati backer of all the year. I mean, I obviously got the Ritter on the Heisman, which feels kind of dead, but somebody's going to cover this big number that you don't. The rest of the way, somebody's going to cover the big number against Cincinnati. They're going to be given 20 plus, right? I mean, besides the SMU game, but you never know if they start falling. But somebody, I don't think it's Navy. I don't think Navy's capable of doing that. But you never know when you come down here to Annapolis in the great state of Maryland.
No.
So that's early noon. Early noon, that's where you're going to want. All right. Anything else before you take us away, sir?
No, I got nothing else.
Okay. Well, travel safe.
Thank you, sir. I will.
Good luck. We got the first bird out Thursday morning.
Six 6:30 bird out. That way I can get there in time for playoff baseball at Dodger Stadium.
Nice. Are you guys in the box?
That should be fun. I don't know what we got. I leave that up to other people to just say, hey, we're
going. Have you seen a game at Dodger Stadium?
Yes, I have. Okay. I actually went to Dodger Stadium. It had to be a few.
20 years ago?
No. Maybe 10.
Okay.
10 or so. I went to a Dodgers game with Lav.
And it was
awesome. I was out there. My wife was working X Games at the time. Mm-hmm. And I went and when I went out there on just for the weekend, and I went with Lav to Dodgers game, went to Lav San Antonio. I mean to Del Mar. It was great.
That's where I was going to ask you if you're going to get a trip to. I don't even know if they're racing right now.
At Santa Anita, they are racing, yes.
Okay. All right. I think that'll do it. Take us away.
Less you bet, more you lose when you win.
You can listen or follow the Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Plus, don't miss more from Stanford Steve on ESPN SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. And check out the Bear on College Game Day on ESPN.